Okay, morning. Today's daf is daf Nun Aleph. Okay. Nun and Nun Aleph. I'd like to cover today. I'm not going to cover all that, but as you'll see, the first daf, we're behind the daf. The first daf we're going to do today is money talk. Okay, really, you have to like currency. You got to be somewhat of a coin collector. You got to like a little bit of math. You got to like your fractions. Okay, so have I tempted everybody to really get into Daf Nun? I hope so. Daf Nun Aleph will be more what we call regular Gemara. It's more standardized. But the first half of today's Daf is money talk. Okay, Chamesh Shloim Shalben B'Manatzuri. Okay, so we all know now, we've been discussing this for a good part of the last couple of months. And the eighth parak is really dedicated to the mitzvah Pidgin HaBen. And you got to give five Shloim. So the five salim says the Mishnah is you have to pay in manitsuri. Now, in the time of the Mishnah, in the time of the Gemara, and probably even earlier as well, so the coin was the manitsuri. Was the tire, the coin of Tyre? Am I saying it correctly? Okay, even if I'm not. Okay, that was the coin that was used back then. As opposed to when the Torah spoke in terms of shkalim, a shekel. The Torah says you have to give five shkalim. The assumption we're going to make always is that a sela equals a shekel. Okay, shekel, sela are one in the same thing. I'll tell you what's confusing, and you just got to get used to it, is that in the time of the Mishnah, in the time of the Gemara, whenever they refer to the shekel, that's the chatzi shekel of the Torah. Okay, that's a little bit confusing, sure. Whenever in the Mishnah or in the Gemara, where they say the word shekel, that's chatzi shekel. Meaning that the shekel they had in the time of the Mishnah and the Gemara was actually a half a shekel that the Torah referred to as a shekel. Okay, and in the time of the Mishnah and the Gemara, when they wanted to talk about the actual shekel, so what word did they use? Sela. Sela equals shekel. So all you have to do is just make one shift in your mind, and that is that when we're learning Mishnah, we're learning Gemara, so instead of seeing the word shekel, you're going to see the word sela. That's the only shift you need to make in your mind, and then it becomes clear. And I told you, the confusing part is that when they say the word shekel, that means chatzi shekel. Okay, you just get used to that. There was a mesechta, which we did in Daf Yomi, which we're going to actually get to soon enough. It's called Shkalim. Okay, where there, all this is discussed in detail because that's the mitzvah of giving the half shekel, which we'll mention just briefly in our Mishnah over here. So the Mishnah says that you have to give chamesh slime, you have to give now five slime. So now you hear slime means shekel. So when you give the five slime to a kohen for your son, so you have to give it by manitsuri. Okay, now manitsuri, what's the story with manitsuri? There basically are two different types of currencies that were existing back then. There's a really good currency, which was manitsuri, and then there was a really cheap currency, which was called kesef medina. Kesef medina, right, basically out in the provinces, meaning you live out in the boondocks, so that money got circulated. It was minted money.
It's Confederate dollars.
Mostly copper, right. Very little silver. I believe the correct ratio is 1 to 7. One part silver, 7 parts copper. It was really not, it was a minted coin, but it wasn't real currency. It wasn't good currency. The good currency, meaning the actual metal content of that money was silver, was manitsuri. Manitsuri was pure silver, and that is what you needed to pay if you found a coin. You have to give him 5 salayim. Okay, why is this Mishnah here telling us something revolutionary? Meaning I open up a chumash, and the Torah tells me I have to give 5 shkalim to a coin. So it is revolutionary in the following. Not revolutionary, but it is a chiddush in the following. At one point in time, and I cannot tell you when that point is that what the Chachamim did is that they added to the weight of the shekel. Okay? They did. Later on this morning, we'll quote a pasuk. We'll have a source in terms of what gives them the right to do so. But just know this. Know that what once upon a time, you only had to give the kohen 5 shkalim, meaning what the Torah called shekel, net, which is the Mishnah's word of Stella, but now that we're talking now in Kesef Tzuri, so all you need to know is this, is that it's more. It comes out more. It weighs more. It's about 20% more
than the
old-fashioned shekel. The rabbis added to the weight.
So if you go to the store and you
The stela back in the time of the Mishnah and the Gemara was the currency.
Right.
It was the currency.
So
but if you were in the time of the Mishnah and the Gemara and you wanted to go quote-unquote old school, and you said, look, I know the current currency now is the tsuri, the kesef tsuri. But you know what? Let's go old school. Let's go back to the shekel that the Torah actually wanted me to give. You'd be giving less. In fact, later this morning, you're going to see one of the Almarim tried that. He tried that move. Huh? 16 and 2/3. Yeah, that's...
It became 20.
Yep. 16 and 2/3, which then became 20. Okay? My numbers are about right. It's about 20% more. Okay, so, right, one of the Amorim tried that, and what he later discovered is, it's not okay. Not okay, because the rabbis legislated, the Chachamim legislated, that this is now going to be the new weight of the shekel. Okay, so understand that really what the Mishnah is doing for us, meaning it's a simple Mishnah, all I did is just read one line of Mishnah, is basically tell us, I'm giving you the story behind the story, is that there's a new sheriff in town, there's a new weight in town, meaning even though the old shekel was of a certain weight and a certain, you know, a certain metal, silver hasn't changed. It's still silver, but now it's more. Okay?
Exactly 20%.
Oh, okay, look at that. Okay, good. Chamish Laim Shal Ben B'Manitzuri. Now, the Mishnah goes on and gives us a list of other things that also, if you have to pay, you have to use a current currency of the time of the Mishnah and the Gemara. Shloshim shal Eved, you have one of your oxes kill an Eved Kanani, so you have to pay. There's a fine. The fine that you have to pay is 30 sela. Chamishim shal Ones, the man rapes a woman, so there are 50 slime that need to be paid for that. Vishal Mefata, same thing with seduction. Umeya shal Motzi Shemra, 104 defamation. Kulam b'shekel HaKodesh b'manitzuri. Now all of them are shekel HaKodesh, and all of them are paid manitzuri. The kulan niftin b'kesef v'shav kesef chutz mishkalim. Now, as far as pigeon is concerned, as far as redemption is concerned, every one of them can be redeemed with either kesef or shav kesef, anything which has value. So in other words, it doesn't have to actually be coins. It could be value for that coin, except for the shekel. And when it says shekel over here, it's talking about the machtes shekel that is given on Adar for the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, manitzuri. Okay, Amar Rabbi Asi, mana shel tzuri. So Rabbi Asi says that it means mana shel tzuri, meaning exactly what I told you back in the Mishnah, that the new coin that we're going to use, it's not new, in the time of the Mishnah, time of the Gemara, that was the coin, but in other words, exactly, meaning that's what you use the mana tzuri, the mana shel tzuri, the tire coin which was popular back in the time of the Mishnah and the Gemara, that's what you're going to use. And again, basically what's going on now is that we know it weighs more, but that's what you have to do now. Now, Rabbi Ami Dinari Arva, Rabbi Ami says, no, the weight of that is the same as the Arabian dinar. Don't ask me, I don't know. Rabbi Chanina Omer, Istara Sarsia, Demizdavna Tame Bidinare, the Istara Sarsia. Okay, again, a type of coin that was used then. It sold for 8 dinarim. So chamesh minau the pigeon aben, 5 of those is for pigeon aben. Okay, and Rashi tells us that Rabbi Asi. It seems that Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Chanina are disagreeing with Rabbi Asi. Top of Nun Amad Aleph, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Dinari, Hydrina and Tyrina, Shaifa de Mizdavdin, Be'ezrim Vechamisha Zuzi. So the Hadrian Dinar or the Trina Dinar, again, popular coins that were used in the time of the Gemara, right? These are Roman generals, okay? Probably after the destruction of the temple. And they sell for 25 Zuz. These coins. So now, you want to give a coin like this to a kohen in order to satisfy your obligation of pigeon aben. So 25 zuz, you don't need to give him that much. Dominai shesusa. So you get a refund if you're going to give that coin, which is worth 25 zuz. By the way, how many zuz do you need to give? 4 times 5, 20. You only need to give 20 zuz. There are 4 zuz per sela, so 4 times 5, you need to give 5 of those to the Kohen, this particular coin is worth 25, so it's 5 more than you need to give, so you deduct a 6. Now, I did the math for us. You could do the math as well on your own. Deduct a 6 off of it, so that gives you that gets you a 20 and 5 6. Okay, you overpaid. You only have to give 20 zuzim. So the Gemara points out that you overpaid. That's 21 minus the 6, or 20 and 5, 6. So Ela Dal Shesusa Vizuza. So the Gemara now makes a suggestion. Well, okay, so take a 6 off of that coin, meaning get, in other words, a deduction of a 6 off 25. 1/6, 25 divided by 1/6 is 20 and 5, 6. Take another zuz off of that, right?
Take the zuz off first of 24.
Take the zuz off 24, and then a 6 off of that, and that'll get you to 19 and 5, 6. So the Gemara says, okay, but the problem is you didn't pay enough. So that's 1/6 less than what you should pay. Ela dal zuza v'shesusa. So take off a zuz and a 6, v'hanach l'pidgin aben, and then the rest is going to be for pidgin aben. Dahavlu esr metakli b'metakli dinare, and that's 20 zuzim. Wonderful. De'inon esr metamni zuze upago pagadanka. Okay. Wonderful. Okay, so you have to pay 20 zuz. Okay. Amar Rava. And now you'll begin to understand a little bit better, at least I'm beginning to understand a little bit better, what all this is. Meaning, what's the issue over here? Aside from giving us our currency and doing a little bit of math, so Salem Daraisa Tosa Vitosa Have. Look, the seller Daraisa. Now remember, I told you at the beginning of today's daf, seller shekel. Shekel seller. So the shekel Daraisa, the seller Daraisa, is Tilsa Tlasa Vitosa Have. It's 3 1/3. 3 1/3 dinarim. Okay, so 3 1/3 dinarim have dichsiv, esrim geira shekel metagamin, and esrim ma'in. Vitanya shesh ma'a kesef dinar. Now, it's 3 1/3, so let's do a little simple math. 3 1/3 for every shekel, 3 1/3 times 5. Okay, I didn't lose everybody today, did I? 3 1/3 times 5 is what? 6. 16 and 2/3. Okay? 16 and 2/3. Okay? That's it. Meaning what Rava's now arguing is that really, all you need to give the Kohen is 16 and 2/3. That's how many zuzim you need to give to the Kohen.
That's from when we
worked with the shekel that Moshe was dealing with. 16 and 2/3. And now, basically what you're saying is you need to give 20. Okay, right, and now everyone's seeing? Meaning what's happening now is that we need to give more than once upon a time we need to give. So the Gemara says that the Sela Kodesh is 48 Pundayon, and Pundayon, what's the purpose of the Pundayon? Kibon Leprut Rot. Now, I'm not going to go through it right now. Take a look at Rashi. When we get to Erechin, which is coming up really soon, so we're going to go through all the math. It's basically a prorated a formula for how to redeem your lands if you are Makdish your field. Again, when we get to Erechin, we're going to go all through this slowly in a much greater detail. But the Gemara is just simply pointing out right now that we are providing a number of each Sela being 3 1/3. If you do the computation, you do the math, you're going to find out exactly what we discussed, which is that the Sela is not 3 1/3, but the Sela is going to be 5. So, basado sifu lave. So the Gemara says, correct, at one point historically, and again, your guess is better than mine, but at one point historically, probably during some time, beginning of the Second Temple, thereabouts, the Chachamim added to the shekel. That's the story. And the addition to the shekel, so that now each shekel, now I'm not talking in the Mishnah, I'm talking about in the Torah. Each shekel now is going to be worth 1 manet suri. Okay, so that, one manet suri. So that
new shekel.
Each new, The Chachamim added to the old shekel so that the quote-unquote new shekel is going to be equal to the tzuri money. Detanya esrim gera, shekel aman lo shekel shu esrim gera. We know that the shekel is equal to 20 gera. Minayin shehem ratza lahosif yosef. Now, if the Chachamim want to add to the weight content, do they have the right to do so? Yes. Tamalomar yiyeh. And the Gemara explains it using the word yiyeh. Yiyeh means that even if it's more, that's what it is. The Chachamim have the right to do that. Yachol yifchos, how about taking away from the weight content? Tamalomar who? Now, who tells us that? The Torah is giving us a baseline. That's the minimum it's going to be, 20 gera. If the Chachamim want to add, they may in fact add. The old shekel is 20 gera. And the new shekel is now going to be 20% greater than that.
24 gera.
24.
And 20 what? 20 punda.
The punda, I really bypass that whole discussion because it would require me to explain the whole prorate, and we'll do it. When we get to Erechim, we're going to do it. But that just showed us that there's a new sheriff in town, there's a new currency in town. And the new currency in town is 20% greater than the old.
Right.
And essentially what the Gemara says is correct. Right. The Gemara is just validating what we all knew.
Right, the 20 units that the...
20 units of the Torah now are 24.
Right,
20. Ravashi shadar leishivsa zuzil ravacha b'rei deravina b'pidjon aben. Now, case study. Wonderful case study. Rav Ashi sent 17 zuz to Rav Acha b'rei deravina for pidjon aben. So shalach lei... And then, together with the money, he also attached a little note, which is, Lishtalimar, Tilsi Yasei Rasa, Deika Lavayhu. I'd like a refund. Not a refund. Change. Sorry. Okay? I'd like a little bit of change, meaning I gave you 17. 17? That's a third of a ziz too much. I overpaid. So just give me change. Give me change of a third. Now, he was trying to go old school, meaning, yes, once upon a time, that's how much it was worth. What do you mean? Give you a third back. How about this? Give me three more zuzim. Meaning you just gave me 17. My friend, you need to give me 20 zuzim. So I'm Rabbi Chanina. Okay, period. Okay, kind of funny, by the way. In other words, he didn't know. Meaning you're talking about Rav Ashi. You're talking about Rav Acha b'rei deravina, late period Amoraim. In other words, they knew. Okay, the story behind the story, I don't know, but I've mentioned this a number of times. There's got to be a story behind the story, but okay. Amir b'chanina kol kesef hamar b'torah stam sela. Anytime you see the word kesef in the Torah, so you know that that's a reference to a sela. D'nevi'im, litrin. However, when you see the word sela mentioned in the Navi, that is litrin, 25 selaim. D'ksuvim, kintarin. Now, if you see it in ksuvim, the word selah, so that's kintarim, that's 100 selah, chutz min kasbo shal afron, shafa bisha kasbo b'torah stam, kintarim dichsiv. Now, the only time that we're going to violate this rule is by Ephron. Avram purchased the land from Ephron, okay, 400 shkalim, over la socher. Over la socher means it's universally accepted. Arba meo shekel kesef avila socher v'ika duchta de kakare lekintara tikle. Now there's a place out there in the world where the kintar is 100 selah, but they call that kintar, they call that a selah. So therefore, when Avram paid 400 shekel, he didn't use the standard shekel, but he used 400 of these 100 selah pieces so that it would be universally accepted, and so therefore, it was 400 shekel times 100.
40,000?
Right.
Wow. But right. There's a note here about your question. He said that Lavasha was a student of Ravashi, and Ravashi wanted to test.
Oh, this was a test.
This was
only a test. Beautiful. Okay. Oh, good. Good.
Makes a mistake,
right. Correct. Every mistake I make, which, so help me. Every mistake I make is just a test. That's... so we're good? Yeah. All right. By the way, the Rabbeinu Yonah on the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says that there are 10 tests that Avram was tested with. And Kemat Kol Harishonim, all the Rishonim are looking at the Akedas Yitzchak as test number 10. So the Rabbeinu Yonah writes a parish to Mishnayos. He writes a parish to all, but he writes a parish to Mishnayos, and he disagrees. He says that the 10th test was the purchasing of the property. He says that was test number 10. Why? He writes, it's very simple. It's a good shot. He says because Avram was promised the land, meaning this land is going to belong to you, and then the next thing Avram's got to do now is pay, and pay dearly for a piece of property which is supposed to be his. So the Rabbeinu Yonah says that's the 10th test. And now add to that the Gemara that we just learned that not only did he pay dearly, he paid 400 times 100. He paid 40,000 shkalim for a land which it's just, you know, for a burial plot. So now you understand, like, Rabbeinu Yonah really speaks to you in terms of just like how big a deal it was to Avram purchase this land. I'm Rabbi Yoshia, big shulignos kol kesef v'zav sheba olam, memnei kaspa v'zahavel shel Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yoshia says, you know, after the destruction of the temple, had a treasury. And the Romans came and they pilfered. And they went in there and they just took the money right out of there. And the Chachamim were now worried, meaning now you go through the marketplace and you're holding a coin in your hand, and that may be a coin of the Beis HaMikdash. That's hektish. So what the Chachamim tried to do, I can't imagine, what the Chachamim tried to do is basically all the currency of the world, they tried basically to hide. So that nobody would be more behektesh. Okay. Now, the statement's going to get a lot of revision to it in the Gemara, but just, you know, just conceptually try to understand. I mean, it's amazing. So, we're going to go through revisions of the statement. But yes, at the first presentation of the statement, basically, all money may be money of the temple treasury, and we don't want people to be more behektesh. Okay. And then what they do is they turn to a pasuk in Chumash. No, I'm sorry, pasuk in Yechezkel. When they come in, and now the pasuk in Yechezkel is obviously not talking about destruction of the second temple, obviously. But point is that the idea is that once they come in, and once they breach the walls, chulin. The money becomes deconsecrated. Vishalayim Havyaruba Damana, the Gemara asks, even when we originally thought that they really thought that there was Malsha Hektesh and they were worried, right? The whole world meaning Rov, right? A simple question the Gemara is asking. Okay? Bitul Barov. Most of the money in the world, most of the currency that is current in the world is not Shir Yerushalayim. All right, so I understand the problem, but even halachically, even if we just speak halachically, isn't there a concept of rov? Alam Rabbi, bichulignos dinari hadrina tirina shayfa mimetava shirushalayim hashematzalam mikra minatara shumotash nemo vau bapritzim v'chiluluha. So the Gemara says, okay, the coins, the very same coins that we mentioned at the very top of the Amud, the Hadrian coins, the Tyrant coins, those coins were basically used in the temple. It was those coins that they wanted to try to get out of circulation, because after destruction of the temple, now most of those coins actually belong to the temple, and they were worried about an issue of people being more behektish. And then now we have the pasuk in Yechezkel to fall back on, which is once they come in, once the conquerors come in and conquer Yerushalayim, chileluha. Now chulin. Top of Nun Amidays. Amr Rav Yehuda Amarav, Asi Kol Kesef, Amr Betara, Stam Kesef Tsuri. Any kesef that you find in the Torah is referring to kesef tsuri, meaning the quality coinage, the coinage that is made exclusively of silver. V'shal divrehem, and if it's just a mitzvah derabanan, kesef medina, so then you could use kesef medina, the alloy, the metal, the silver copper coin, mostly copper, little bit of silver. V'klalahu, the Gemara says, now, you're giving me a rule, v'harei taina dichsev, now, as far as making a taina a claim, custodial claim, right? I didn't mishandle it. I didn't misappropriate it, right? Ki yitein isha rei kesef okel nishmar v'tanan shvuos adayanim hit ana shte kesef. Now, shvuos adayanim requires at least a minimum of a custodial claim of shte kesef, of two kesef. So now, Now, the Torah uses the word kesef. And meanwhile, we're saying it doesn't have to be kesef tzuri, it could be any kesef. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that's an exception to the rule. Why? Because if you look in the Chumash says kesef o kelim. And it lumps together basically money and our objects. So here you see money doesn't have to be like exquisite money. It doesn't have to be any special money. Just like kelim could be referring to any two objects, kesef could be referring to any two coins. Okay, and just like money has to be something significant, the kelim have to be something significant as well. Again, v'hare meiser, another seeming exception to the rule. D'chsiv v'tzarta kesef b'yadecha v'tanan haparid sela meiser sheni. So the Gemara says, you see that when it comes to the redemption of meiser sheni, you don't have to use kesef tzuri, you could use any type of money, even kesef medina, kesef riba. Again, the Gemara's answer is, yeah, but there we have a ribui. V'hare hekdesh, the Gemara's going to point to another exception. D'chsiv v'nasana kesef v'kam lo. When you redeem, you can redeem. The Torah uses the word kesef. So this is a Torah word. And meanwhile, Shmuel says that if you want to be poda onto a pruta, so it's mechulal. Pruta is not a silver coin, it's a copper coin. And didn't you tell me that anytime the Torah uses the word kesef, it's got to be a silver coin, all silver? And again, the Gemara's answer is hekdesh nami yalef kodesh mi meiser. We have exereshava. Okay, the Gemara's going to give another exception. You realize now, there are more exceptions than there are rules. Beisil says that if you want to be mekadesh a woman, you give her a pruta. Not a silver coin, but even a copper coin. Nothing that exciting. So the Gemara says, and now what do you want to do? You want to tell me that Ravasi's big statement, big rule, is all now going to be formulaic only according to Beit Shammai. So the Gemara says, look, we're going to have to go through revision. Okay? Revision. Now here we go. Okay. If it's Kesef Katsuv, if the Torah not only tells you money, but it tells you a specific amount of money, then you have to use silver coins. Vishal Divrayim Kesef Medina. And if it's anything rabbinic, so then it's Kesef Medina. My Kamashlan Tanina. So the Gemara says, good. We've refined the rule. The rule is now, if the Torah just uses the word kesef by itself without specifying an amount, you could use any coin you want. You could use a pruta if you want, that's a copper coin, that's fine. If the Torah gives you a specific amount, then you have to use silver coins. Okay, the Gemara says good. Now we got the rule straight. Now the Gemara's next comment is going to be, we knew all this. Meaning, I'm so happy you gave us a rule, but it seems like everything you said has already been taught to us. My kamashmal antanina, we already learned this. Chamesh lam shal ben vishal divrei kesef medina tzurich leif. So the Gemara says, look, just go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, daf nun amud aleph, that talks about, mem tes amud beis. The Mishnah over there goes over 5 salaim are for your pigeon, the pigeon of your son, and 30 for the eved, and 50 for ones, and 50 for. So you see already that we know if the Torah gives us a specific amount, and now you want to pay your obligation, you got to use silver coins, okay? So the Gemara says, the first part of the statement, you're right. Kesef Medina itzterech lei. It's the next part, which is if it's just rabbinic, so then you could use Kesef Medina. You could use the provincial coins, the ones that are alloys, the ones that are silver and mostly copper. Denano tokele chavero, for example. Hatokele chavero, you hit somebody in the ear. Or you blow a horn in your ear. Rashi gives offers to pshatim, okay. Anosin lo sela velo tema sela arba zuze. Now, when it says a sela, don't think now arba zuze, meaning not silver coin. Ela paga de zuze dekari insha sela paga de zuze. It could even be a half of a zuz. Chanan Bisha, the Gemara tells a story. Chanan Bisha takalalu gavra. So he blew into the horn of an individual. Also coming to Rav Huna, amale havle paga de zuze. So Rav Huna says, give paga the zuz, give him a half a zuz. Chanan Bisha, bad Chanan. Okay? What a nickname to go around. It's like in the Old West. You know, bad Chanan. Wicked Chanan. Now, paga the zuz, so for that damage that he inflicted on his friend, so he had a friend. So he had to give paga the zuz. And now he reached into his pocket, and he had only one zuz. So you know what? I get it. So the pay scale today is going to be for every smack in the ear, it's a half a zuz. So you know what? And I already owe him half a zuz. So what does he do? Gemara next to Amun. Zuzamacha b'hadei. He had a zuzamacha. Rashi explains it was a bad coin. It wasn't a good coin. Delo nafik, and he knew it wasn't going to go into circulation all that well. So he just gave him another smack on the other ear, and he gave him, now here's your zuz. Okay, in other words, two half zuzes. Here's your zuz. And now you know why he's called Chanun Bisha. Right? That wasn't, not for naught that he was given that name. Shloshim shel eved chamishim shalona v'shamafata hasulamali hatanale resha ones umotzi shemra itzterechlei. So the Gemara says, and the Mishnah gives us other examples, but what exactly is the point? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you. Ones umafata sakadah chamina kevin to loksibu hushkalim emazuzah ba'am kamash malan demelach kal yafi mehadade. Because when it says by ones umafata, it says 50, but it doesn't use the word shekel, and point being, they learn one from the other. Chutz min hashkalim, tana chutz min hashkalim, ma'aser v'hareayon. Now, in all the scenarios in the Mishnah, now we know how much you have to pay. For this redemption of your son, it's 5 sela, which translates to now 20 zuzim. And then all the other cases in the Mishnah. Now, if you don't want to give money, but you want to give equivalency, shavah kesef, you may do that. Okay? But you now we know what the equivalency is. Meaning, if I'm going to give a iPad to a Kohen, I don't recommend that. But in other words, it's got to be minimally worth 20 zuzim, not the 16 2/3, which was once upon a time the value, but now 20 zuzim, 20% more. Okay, the only time where shava kesef does not work, says the Mishnah, is by shekel, meaning the machzis is a shekel. The Gemara comments on that. Tana chutz min hashkalim ma'aser v'hareayon. Tana. The Gemara quotes a brisa chutz min hashkalim u'maaser v'hareayon. So even though our Mishnah has one exception, says the brisa, there are actually 3 exceptions. Now, shkalim did not mitzafin shkalim le'dura bonos or darkonos. Okay. Depending on how much gear so you prefer, mimnei masui haderech. Now, when it comes to the shkalim, so they could be lumped together into a currency which was called a darkon. In our Gemara, we have the word darbon, but probably darkon, because to have to carry and schlep all those shekels to Yerushalayim would be onerous. So therefore, they allowed you to lump it together into a larger coin. Okay, right? It was a golden coin. In Meiser it says v'tzarta hakesef biadecha. So you see the Torah is interested in you having a minted coin, and tzarta tzura has to be a minted coin. V'harayon tini Rav Yosef shlo yavi sigala azara. And as far as the reayon is concerned, that is the carbon re'iyah. When you go to Yerushalayim on the 3 regalim, and you're obligated to bring an olas hare'iyah, so the coins that you use in order to pay for your olas hare'iyah have to be coins and cannot be shava kesef. We don't want anything other than coins to go and circulate in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. Good. That takes us through our coin talk of the day. Okay? Basic idea that we've learned so far over the course of this morning is that inflation is not really the right word, but the Chachamim demanded and mandated that even though the shekel once upon a time was less than 4 zuz, the Chachamim added so that now the shekel is equivalent to 4 zuz, and you want to pay their 5 shekel obligation to a Kohen, you have to pay now 20 zuz. Okay? That's point one that we learned today, and I don't know. As I've already reported, my firstborn was cesarean, so I got off the hook. But no, it's not. Yeah, it doesn't come out. Yeah, it doesn't come out to a lot. Okay. Okay. We start with the next Mishnah. Ein podin lo ba'avadim v'lo b'shtars v'lo b'karkars v'lo b'agdeishos. Okay. Now, we stated in the previous Mishnah that you don't have to use money. You could use shavei kesef. Okay? Which means now that you want to give your kohen. Let's go to some nice classic examples. You want to give him your bicycle. You'd like to give him your toaster oven. Okay? You can give the Kohen anything equivalent to 20 zuz to 5 salayim, but here's what you can't give the Kohen. You can't give him not an eved, okay, which would be such a nice gift to the Kohen, right? Here's an eved kanani in lieu of the 5 salayim that I owe you. Now, I'd like to think that an eved is going to be probably worth more than 5 salayim, okay, but still the point is that you cannot give him an eved as your shavei kesef. You cannot give him a shtar, right? Let's say you have a note. Somebody owes you money, and you secure that obligation with a note, okay? And what you now do is you simply say to the kohen, here's a note. All you need to do is collect. That also is not going to work as well. And not with karka. And you cannot give the kohen property as well. So in other words, even though shavei kesef works, these three things, which are usually lumped together, right? Eved, shtar, and kesef. Eved, shtar, and karka cannot be used as your shavei kesef. We'll discuss in the Gemara why not. V'lo behekdeshos. Now, I deliberately paused before I read this. And you can't be poded with hekdesh. You and I know you can't read the Mishnah literally over here. You can't be poded with hekdesh. Hekdesh does not belong to you. You're not the owner of hekdesh. Once you're makdish something, you are nothing more than just a custodian of that item. That item belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishnah is telling me that I can't be poded with hekdesh. Of course you can't be poded with hekdesh. Hekdesh doesn't belong to you.
Well, maybe it means that the kohen owes hekdesh, and he's going to pay for it.
Interesting. Gemara's going to give a...
No?
That's not what the Gemara's going to say. No. Okay? You can give a noob shot, but the Gemara's going to offer a pshat in the Mishnah. Kasav lekohen shu chayev liten chamesh shlaim. I love this. You had a firstborn son, and you go over to the kohen and you say, look, right, love you to death, and I'm going to give you the 5 shlaim. I don't have it right now, but how about this? I'll write you an IOU note. Now, it makes me smile when I think about this, because what did you gain? You owe him the money. Here's an IOU. Okay, good. Now, could so kasav lekohen shu chayev liten chamishah shlaim chayev liten lo uveno eino padui. Now listen to this. This is an unbelievable pshat, unbelievable chiddush of the Mishnah. And then after writing the note, here I have a contract right here. after the daf, ask me to read this to you. This is funny. So anyway, so here. And listen to what the Mishnah says. So I write the note. Here I owe you. I sign it, or I have two witnesses sign it. I give it to the Kohen. And then I go into my pocket and I pay him 5 salayim. The Mishnah says, all that was nice and good, and now you still owe him another 5 salayim. Now,
you made it
there. Right, good. That's the correct question. Correct, what? And now I don't understand. Meaning, there certainly was no purpose in writing a note. And now that you did write a note, now that you satisfied your note, now you owe him another 5 salayim? Any guesses? Okay, we'll get to it. Gemara's going to discuss it. Now, Cohen wants to give it to him as a gift, back to him as a gift. He's absolutely, it's within the right of the Cohen to do so. So let's say you set aside the 5 salayim. Okay, and you put it in your special place. Okay, and please don't ask me how many times this happens to me, and you forget where that special place was. And now you say, look, I put aside the money. The Mishnah says, you still are obligated. Why should Emma Yelecha Upado Tifteh? You're still on the hook. Now,
is son redeemed or not?
No, son's not redeemed. No. In other words, the mitzvah of pidyon haben requires you to give the money to the kohen. You would have thought, I put the money aside. That's pidyon.
You have to give it to the kohen.
Correct. Masisin de loke Rebbe, de tanya Rebbe Omer, bechol podin bechor adam, chus min ashtar, it's my time at the Rebbe. Okay, here we go, classic Gemara, we've seen this many times before, and that is, our Mishnah doesn't agree with Rebbe. Rebbe says that, Rebbe says you can be poda even with land, even with Eved Kanani. Okay? The only thing you can't do is a star. My time at the Rebbe Darsha Ribu Umiyut. Rebbe Darshan's Ribu Umiyut. Okay? And just an easy way to remember is Rebbe in the name Ribu. Okay? That's how he Darshan's Ribu Umiyut. Although that's a great memory aid, as you'll see later on in the on this Amud, Rebbe doesn't always Darshan Ribu Umiyut. So, you know, I take back the mnemonic. Umiyut Upiduyav. I'm sorry. The pasuk reads, "Parshas Korach, Uftu Yami ben Chodesh Tifteh, Riba Berkacha Kesef Chamesh Ashkala Miyet." The Torah says, "Tifteh redeem," which means redeem with anything. Then it says five shkalim, that's a miyut, tifteh riba, and then follow up with another tifteh, which is a ribui. So ribui, miyut, viriba. Riba hakol, my rabbi kol mile. So when the Torah is merabit, the Torah says basically you want to redeem your son? Anything. Whatever you want. Styrofoam cup, coffee in the cup, right? Voice recorder, whatever here is on this table, anything. Well, my me and me shtaros. Now, when the Torah is memai, the Torah is memai shtar. Why? What's wrong with the shtar? It's not a value. It allows you to collect, but the item itself is not an item of value. V'rabban and darshe, and now the chachamim who obviously disagree. Who is the chachamim? Our Mishnah. The chachamim disagree. Rabban and Darshi klal uprat to p'duya mi ben chorish klal ber kachakesav chamesh shkal and prat tifte chazer uklal klal uprat uklal yata dan elakein aprama aprama forish davar hamita tel v'gufo mamon av kol davar hamita tel v'gufo mamon. It has to be something which is both movable, like shkalim, and value, like shkalim. Yatsu karko shei metaltalin. Karka is not a movable item, obviously. Yatsu avadim shuk shlo karkas. Eved karka are always linked. Yatsu shtar shaf apisha metatlin gufa mamon. A contract is movable, but it's not value, meaning it is not intrinsically a value. Amalei ravino amreima of rabbi ribu emir darsh vaha rabbi kol prat darsh. The Gemara notes that that's not true, meaning Rebbe does use kol prat. Be marzea detanya marzea leila marzea minala rabbas chasuva hasira vahamacha vahamikadeach vahamikatev. Rebbe allows you to pierce a hole into your Eved Ivri using any instrument you want. Tamalam of Lakach, the rabbis called Davar Shalakach Biyad. I'm sorry, that's not Rebbe. Divrei, Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Omer, here we go, here's Rebbe. Marzeh, Ma Marzeh, Miyuchat Shamateches, Avkol Shamateches. It has to be a metal instrument, a sharp metal instrument. V'ramina b'maika miflihi, why does Rebbe say that? Rebbe Dashi Klal Prat, Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda Darish, Ribu Umiyut. So the Gemara says, because Rebbe uses Klal Prat, and therefore the Klal Prat leads us to the conclusion that if you want to pierce the hole of your Eved Ivri, you must use a metal instrument. Okay, so now, what does Rebbe like? What is his instrument of choice? What is his darshaning instrument of choice? Is it Ribu Umiyut or is it Klal Prat? So the Gemara says, I'm confused. In the halacha of piercing the hole of the Eved Ivri, he used Klal Uprat. In the halacha of redeeming your firstborn son, he seems to be using Ribu Umiyut. So the Gemara's response, in Ba'ama Rebbe Klal Uprat Darshe, V'hacha Kedetan Debe Rebbe Shema, Detan Debe Rebbe Shema, Ba'mayim Ba'mayim Shtei Pa'amim, Ein Ze Klal Uprat Ela Ribu Umiyut. Sometimes, even if you're a Klal Uprat guy, like Rebbe is, sometimes you transfer over to Ribu Umiyut. Interesting.
Why does it have to be all or not? Why did they expect him to be only clutch?
The Gemara is working with an assumption that you have a particular methodology. And the Gemara is assuming, before giving this answer, that you don't, either your Klal Uprat or your Ribu Umiyut. In other words, those are two distinct methodologies.
What is the Ribu Umiyut for, supposed to be for it?
Meaning there are other Tanaim who subscribe to Ribu Umiyut, but not him.
But the thing is that, what about the other 13 principles? Let's say you're a Ribu Umiyut guy, right?
You're right.
That you don't apply to any other 13 principles?
Good question. I'm not sure. Let's just finish this up. And how do I know that why would Rebbe switch? Why would he shift from being generally a Klal Uprat guy to being a Ribu Amiyud guy? So the Gemara says there's a the Torah intimates. The Torah gives us a hint, right? There's a code word. What's the code word? When the two klalim are side by side, and then the prat follows the two klalim. So for Rebbe, that is the Torah's way of saying you shift. You shift from being klal uprat and you go to ribu imiyut. The pasuk in Korach, which was never actually accurately quoted in here, does not have the klal followed by the prat followed by the klal, but it's rather klal then prat. Which then leads us to the conclusion, which leads Rebbe to the conclusion, okay, now we're shifting, not klal uprat, but now ribu imiyut.
Is it when you shift, isn't it ribu and miyut?
Yeah, and then the way, correct, but then the way you darshan is going to be ribu imiyut, ribu. And then, v'rabbanan, now obviously our Mishnah disagrees with all this. Our Mishnah goes with klal uprat, even though it's klal, followed by prat. V'rabbanan, amri kedar mina b'marava. Well, in Israel, in Eretz Yisrael, when they see this, meaning klal, prat, what do? Hatel prat beinayim v'duna mechal prat. Cut and paste. They take the prat, they cut it out, meaning they don't actually switch the pasuk around, but in methodology, they take the prat, they cut it out, they insert it right into the klal, done and done. Okay?
So he does also.
So interesting. Rebbe, who is the author of our Mishnah, acknowledges basically, I have a different way of understanding, but my position over here is really the minority position. I'm offering you in the Mishnah the majority position. Let's do two more lines of Gemara, and we'll stop for today. Lo behekdeshos pshita lavdi deinenu. The Gemara here asks the obvious question: what? How you can't redeem your son with hekdesh? Of course you can. It's not yours. So the Gemara's answer is very simple. V'lo hekdeshos b'chol elu. Right. If you want to redeem hekdesh, you can't use karka, shtar, or an eved. Meaning just like by pidgin aben, you can't use these three. When you want to redeem hekdesh, you also have to use money or something money-like. And not karka, and not shtar, and not eved. It's a good pshat in the Mishnah. It, again, reads a little bit funny in the Mishnah, but it's a good shot. Okay, we'll stop over here. Good. Okay, tomorrow, pick it up. Ooh, tomorrow, good stuff. Indian giving tomorrow. Okay, come back. Come back again.